The Gospel ARPL Work, President N. Eldon Tanner, N. Eldon Tanner, Conference Report, October 1966, pages 45-50. President McKay, my beloved brothers and sisters, it is a privilege indeed to be here and to participate with you in this great conference where we have felt the Spirit of the Lord, where we have heard and will hear testimonies of those who have been chosen to lead and direct the work of the Lord in these, the latter days. We have been built up in our faith and in our determination to live lives in keeping with the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a great blessing to be permitted to associate so closely with these men who know and bear testimony, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, and that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. These men love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and strength, and dedicate themselves entirely to the service of their fellow men and to the building up of the kingdom of God on the earth. I do not suggest that these of any human beings are without fault, but it must be clear to all the world that men who live righteous lives and lose themselves in the service of the Lord meet the problems of the world with greater serenity and assurance. I should like to acknowledge the presence of, and express my appreciation to, these dedicated stake presidencies, bishoprics, mission presidents, missionaries, officers and teachers in the priesthood quorums and auxiliary organizations, and all others who are prepared to sacrifice and spend their time in furthering the cause of truth and righteousness throughout the world. We meet in these general conferences of the Church for the purpose of being taught the principles of the gospel, instructed in our duties, and encouraged and built up generally, and to reason together and strengthen one another. I sincerely pray that the Spirit and the blessings of the Lord will attend me and all of us at this time. The world in travail. It is trite but true to say that never before in the history of the world have we or our young people been faced with more evil, serious problems, and challenges than we are today. Wherever you go, and regardless of whatever news media you pick up or listen to, or whatever company you may be in, even as we have listened to our speakers in this conference, we hear discussed and have forced upon our minds the importance of such questions as divorce and family disintegration, new morality, new freedom, new security, the God is dead theory, war and strife, riots, murders, burglaries, and all kinds of crime and deception. It is most important that we be acquainted with the evils of the day and realize how insidious they are and accept our responsibility to guard against these evils. We should realize that the new morality is nothing more than the old immorality, that the new freedom is nothing more than disrespect for law and the rights of others and will lead to anarchy. The new security gives one the idea that the world owes him a living, and destroys individual initiative and infringes on his liberty and freedom. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the safeguard. I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that the only way to guard successfully against these evils is to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, which offers not only a better way of life but the solution to these and all other problems facing us today. In fact, we would have no more war or strife or any of the evils that I have enumerated if the world would accept God as the creator of the world and Jesus Christ as its savior. We as leaders and as members of the Church have a heavy responsibility to help our youth to know and understand that the Bible and the Book of Mormon, which are written on opposite sides of the world, are records of God's dealings with His people on these two hemispheres. They are no fairy tales, but testimonies of many righteous men whose integrity cannot be questioned. These testimonies have been handed down to us by the prophets from Adam to the present day. These records show that in every dispensation those who accepted the word of God and kept His commandments prospered and were happy, successful, and blessed, while those who denied God and Jesus Christ and refused to accept the gospel have suffered heartaches, defeat, godless dictatorship, and general anarchy. Trust in God. We all know the story of Moses and the Israelites. We know that when they followed the instructions of God and kept His commandments, they were blessed and preserved from their enemies, and how quickly they were left to the buffeting of Satan when they turned away from and ignored God and His teachings. Another story with which we are all familiar is that of David and Goliath, how Goliath, that powerful leader of the Philistines, was slain by David with his sling. We should remind our youth of the words of these two men, that show why David was successful and Goliath slain. David kept the commandments of God and had complete faith in His power. Listen to the boastful words of Goliath and to David's humble, but confident, response. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, As a result, Goliath and the Philistines were defeated, and the Israelites were saved by the power of God. The scriptures are replete with records of individuals and nations who succeeded or failed as a result of their faithfulness or disobedience. Also, we should appreciate and help our young people to understand that the greatest leaders of recorded history, and of today, in industry and government, have always believed in God. George Washington, in his first inaugural address, said, "It would be peculiarly improper to omit in this official act my fervent supplications to the Almighty Being who rules over the universe," and in his famous farewell address he said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." Abraham Lincoln, in that oft-repeated statement, said, "Without the assistance of the Divine Being, I cannot succeed, with that assistance I cannot fail." It is very interesting and significant to know, as pointed out so well by Wendell J. Ashton in his article in the October Instructor, that Columbus had great faith in God. This famous explorer in his report to the King and Queen of Spain wrote near the end of his letter, "And the eternal God, our Lord, gives to all who walk in his way victory over things which appear impossible," and this was notably one. Columbus concluded his letter with the suggestions that all Christendom ought to feel joyful and make great celebrations and give solemn thanks for the privilege of bringing Christ's message to the peoples of these newfound lands. Because of his faith and courage, he was able to withstand the mutinies and succeed in his mission. One of our great industrialists, John D. Rockefeller, J.R., included in his creed under the heading I believe in an all-wise and all-loving God, and that the individual's highest fulfillment, greatest happiness, and widest usefulness are to be found in living in harmony with his will. I believe that love is the greatest thing in the world, that it alone can overcome hate, that right can and will triumph over might. The way of God has not failed, it has not been tried. Many who argue that Christianity has failed excuse themselves for their actions by saying that men who profess God and Jesus Christ are hypocrites and do not live the teachings that they profess. Too often men waste their time questioning even the existence of God instead of accepting his teachings and enjoying his blessings. It is something like those who try to prove that Shakespeare never lived, that he was not the author of the Shakespearean plays, some of the choicest of all literature. While they waste their time arguing, others are enjoying the beauty and philosophy of his works, cornerstones of the law of God, Christ's teachings, which are so important to our happiness, security, and exaltation, may be summed up in the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, Christ's answer to the lawyer as to which is the great commandment in the law, and the Articles of Faith as given by Joseph Smith. Some of the Ten Commandments are, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." No one will argue that the keeping of these commandments would not make for a better and happier individual or contribute to a happy and spiritual home, a better community, and a better world in which to live. You are familiar with the old Chinese proverb that says, "If there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world." In fact, the Ten Commandments leave us with the impressive message that we are free either to serve God and keep His commandments or to be ruled by tyrants. Then we have the answer that Jesus gave to the lawyer who asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Homes are broken, individuals are confused and lost, and prisons are full of men who do not believe in God and who fail to love their neighbors. And many argue that we cannot be honest and compete, that we cannot love our fellow men as ourselves without their taking advantage of us, and that we cannot apply the principles of the gospel in dealing with other nations. There are those, too, who claim that the gospel is old-fashioned, that men through scientific development are becoming more and more self-sufficient and need not rely on God. Others argue that the gospel is too restrictive, that it takes away our liberty, and that we cannot enjoy the advantages of a broad education, accept scientific truths, and participate in worthwhile community activities. This is just not true. We know that the Lord has given us the earth and all things therein for our use and for our benefit. We have been told to subdue the earth. As members of the church, we are encouraged to gain an education, to learn what we can, to prepare ourselves to take our places in the world, and to contribute all we can to the good and welfare of mankind. We know that great strides have been made in science and in subduing the earth. We know that mankind is enjoying conveniences, comforts, and blessings far greater than at any other time in the history of the world. However, we must also realize that no scientist or group of scientists or philosophers has ever, through scientific research, been able to find out or give us an understanding of the relationship of God to man or where we came from, why we are here, or even when the spirit enters the body or what happens to it when we die. Opportunities for education. Elder James E. Talmage, in his book The Articles of Faith, emphasizes the importance of gaining an education, and we know that it is more important every day. He says that in the short span of mortal existence it is impossible for a man to explore with thoroughness any considerable part of the vast realm of knowledge. It therefore becomes necessary for him to determine which field of knowledge will be of greatest worth to him in his chosen field of endeavor and then to learn everything he can about it. However, he emphasizes the importance of everyone gaining theological knowledge, as a personal knowledge of God is essential to the salvation of every human soul. Therefore, its importance cannot be overestimated. This theological knowledge has been given to us by revelation down through the ages from Adam to our present-day prophet. However, from the history of mankind we learn that as man in the world prosper they have a tendency to forget God and to depend on their own knowledge and strength. As a result, millions of men and women are disturbed and confused, and many of them are committing suicide. They need something positive. Let me emphasize again that those who have contributed most to the world are men who have had a belief in God and have tried to govern their lives accordingly. How much happier an individual is who can go to bed knowing that he has been honest with his fellow man, that he is morally clean, that he is at peace with God, his creator. How much happier are those who live in a community made up of God-fearing people. In my experience as a bishop, a stake president, and a general authority, I have never had anyone who understands the gospel and who has an abiding faith in God come to me with serious personal problems. J. Edgar Hoover, in his analysis of the problems of the day, says, "The basic cause of the present situation is that so many of our young people have no real sense of moral responsibility which comes from an infinite knowledge of God's teachings. The tragic lack of God and prayer in their lives weakens our homes and our nation's welfare. Faith in God must triumph." Then he emphasizes that either faith in God must triumph in the United States or we will be dominated by criminals and communists. Let us go forward with a positive attitude. Be not ashamed. Be not influenced by those who ridicule and those who question and those who deny God. Let us not be among those who believe but do not have the courage and the strength to live according to the teachings of the gospel, as recorded in John. "Nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Let us enjoy the good things in life, enjoy the gospel and its teachings. Let us not waste our time looking for things to criticize in the gospel or in our neighbors. We must look at ourselves and repent and improve. And let us remember that there is nothing else quite so sure as that we will one day leave this frail existence. Let us set about to prepare ourselves for that day. "4. The day cometh that all shall rise from the dead and stand before God, and be judged according to their works." Plan of appropriate action. If we are to stop the onslaught of immorality, divorce and family disintegration, lawlessness, strife, riots, burglaries, murders, crime, and deception, we must not ask what are they doing about it. We must ask and answer the question, what am I doing? Let us examine ourselves, acknowledge our faults, and repent where we should. We must begin by having righteousness in our own hearts, by disciplining ourselves, by having love and harmony in our homes, and by truly loving our neighbors. Let us have the wisdom, courage, and determination to say with Joshua, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I pray that each and every one of us will realize how important it is that we have family prayer in our home, that we have home evening, that we keep the Sabbath day holy, and dedicate ourselves to overcoming evil and keeping His commandments. Let us realize that this is life eternal, that they might know Thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent, and set about to learn to know God. I thank God with all my heart that I know as I know I stand here that God lives, that we are His spirit children, that Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son, and that through His atonement all mankind may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel as revealed through His prophets. May the Lord bless us to this end. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.